This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason with your host, John Rush. Presented by High Five Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, where every call ends with a high five.
All right, we are back. Hour 2, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Richard Battle joining us now all the way from Normandy, and he's up past his bedtime. Richard, welcome.
Good afternoon, John. Thank you so much for having us back with you today.
Well, I appreciate it. First of all, how's your trip been?
It is fantastic. It's such a privilege to be here and have the opportunity to go to the official ceremony at the American Cemetery on D-Day to commemorate what was done for the entire free world 80 years ago. Where I'm at now, it's already D-Day.
Yep. Yeah, actually it is. Yeah, you just entered into it just a few minutes ago, so it is D-Day. It's funny, and I was thinking of you. I was on vacation last week as well, and I was thinking of you the entire time because there were, as we were leaving Denver, there was a big honor flight that was leaving, and I'm sure heading to where you're at, I'm guessing. I don't know where else they would be going, but that's what I'm guessing was happening. You'll see a lot of the different folks that were on there, and you know, thanking a lot of them as they were passing by and so on, and it was really cool to see that. It made me think of you.
Well, first, I hope you didn't tell Tara that you were thinking of me during the week. But second, you're correct. They flew, and I think they aggregated 68 veterans in Fort Worth and flew them over here.
Wow.
There was a veteran from Normandy on my flight last week. There's veterans coming outside of that group, but they went to Portsmouth. They took the ferry across to Omaha Beach yesterday, and they've been in events at St. Mary Galese. Every little town over here has events almost nonstop every day.
Wow.
But it's been such an impressive event because the enormity, the breadth of the invasion beaches, the five beaches, is over 50 miles.
Wow.
And I've traveled to all five of them in the last few days and seen them. The invasion started at the furthest east end when the commandos from Britain captured Pegasus Bridge. And about this time, the 82nd, 101st Airborne were parachuting behind Utah Beach on the western end, starting everything. And the enormity of it, with 150,000 men and 6,000 ships coming in, it's just breathtaking, if you will.
Wow. Amazing. What? And I've never been. I would love to go. That'd be just a trip of a lifetime, I guess you could say. And I don't say that lightly at all, because it really would be. What do the locals, the folks that live there all the time, think of all of that?
Well, and this is what's amazing, because at home we may see a 1 or 2 minute news broadcast, and there may be some little something about it, but here, it's unbelievable. I bet I've seen 1,000 or more World War II U.S. military vehicles, mainly by Europeans, people dressed in World War II military attire, mostly Europeans. Again, Bayeux, the city where I'm staying in right now, was the first town liberated on June 7th, and they'll have their parade on June 7th. But all over the town, the store windows are painted. They have pictures in the store windows of how it looked in 1944, because the Germans retreated from this town, and so it was not destroyed. And so it still has its almost 1,000-year cathedral and the buildings that are hundreds of years old and everything. It's just the European town that you imagine. And so all over Europe. They're celebrating. They had veterans speaking to 4,000 French high school kids who gave them a multi-minute standing ovation yesterday.
Wow. So, in other words, their kids are learning more about this than our kids are.
Yes, because they appreciate the allies who came in and helped liberate them after 4 years of German oppression and basically enslavement.
Wow. So, in other words, they haven't forgot that.
No, they haven't forgot. And that's the thing that's amazing, because the Americans came and we didn't take the land. We came and did the job and left and went home. And so when people resumed their lives after the war, it's been easy after a couple of generations for people to lose understanding. Although there's quite a few Americans that are here to commemorate this because they believe this will be the last major celebration because there's so few veterans of the event left.
Right. What's the area around it like? I mean, you go on Google Maps and you look, and it looks to me like there's a ton of farmland and so on. I mean, is it the farming end of France? Is it more industrial? I mean, what's that part like?
Well, that's interesting also, because as you remember, when we see World War II films, they're all in black and white.
Right.
And so we think in black and white, but yet this is very fertile land. It's very green. Vegetation growing from the time I went to Point de Hoc years ago to now, then the bomb craters were pretty open and just dirt and everything, and now the vegetation's grown up over so much of it, and it's just beautiful countryside, and so they are growing crops and everything. It's not very industrialized, and because of all the devastation around it, it took until the 60s or so for the population to start moving back in, and so there hasn't been huge industrial growth.
If you had the ability to share with our students here, you know, our children here that are in school today, what would that be based upon what you're seeing now?
Well, I think the thing that's impressive, the allies, the sacrifice, the valor, the determination, the home front support, even though some of these soldiers didn't see or talk to their families for 4 and 5 years. And as I would say, the American attitude, America, you think about it, CEOs from corporations left their jobs, worked for a dollar a year to help the war effort. Production in America of cars and other things turned into production of vehicles, airplanes, ships, other things for the war effort. They had rationing of sugar, tires, gasoline, meat, other things like that. So every American was involved in it, and every American had that national pride of achievement and the attitude of we can do something as individuals and as a country.
It literally, as you know, there's no, I don't think anybody would argue this, that literally was a war changer, was it not?
Well, yes, and I doubt we'll ever see an amphibious landing like that. Of course, air power and through rockets and things of that nature, and we have a space force now. I think the next big threat is be from space, and so it would be totally different than it was then, which is good in one respect and bad in another, I believe, but that was the last mortal threat that I think our country felt, which pulled us together. And now we've been segmented and balkanized, if you will, into all these little groups that only look out for their group's interest versus looking out for the things that bring us together as Americans.
Richard, again, as we approach now graduation, some of that's going on as we speak. Father's Day's just around the corner. We'll talk more about that in the weeks ahead. But on your website, you've got books that would apply to both of those types of individuals.
Well, absolutely. And the latest book that's available now is The Unopened Present, and that was based on a letter I wrote to my son when he was 6 months old. And unfortunately, he passed away without opening the present of the letter. Mm. And then 25 years later, with a God event in the meantime, that letter was taken, and I enhanced it and added context and quotes and scripture and other things to it to try to help young people learn life's important lessons.
Richard, as always, I appreciate you staying up late and talking to us. That's a huge sacrifice on your part. And when do you come home, sir?
I will be coming in Saturday evening, and we look forward to being with you next week with some new news as well. And
okay.
There's nothing we wouldn't do for Rush to Reason.
Well, I appreciate it, Richard. Again, thank you so much for joining us. RichardBattle.com is the place to go, folks. And Richard, again, have a great rest of your trip, and thank you for taking time out of your night. Get some sleep now, and thank you for doing that, sir. I appreciate it very much.
We will, and God bless America.
God bless you, Richard. And that's a trooper. It's midnight now. It's about 12:15 a.m. Where he's at, and I appreciate Richard taking his time. And again, we'll have more updates from him next week on that, and a trip of a lifetime. And he's been privileged enough to be able to go on that. And again, I thank him for all that he does for us on a regular basis. And I just love having Richard on. He's just got a great spirit, and really appreciate what he does for us here.
This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.